I'd like to read to you a Christmas letter that was written by my guru many years ago. It's way back in 1933. I thought you might enjoy it if I shared it with you. Dear friends, let us decorate the growing Christmas tree of civilization with the flaming flags of all brother nations. Let us drown our differences and behold the branchlets of our national life spreading out from the tree of our one international life. Let us demand that America, India, Germany, Russia, France, China, Japan, Austria, Italy, Switzerland, Sweden, Mexico, Egypt, and all nations learn to decorate their flags on the Christmas tree of brotherhood and celebrate the coming of the United Nations of the world through their awakening in Christ. Let all brother nations contribute their best to make a league of hearts and a league of wisdom in preparation for their coming union. Let all nations consider themselves as children of God with different names only. May the love of nations be the twinkling lights with which to decorate the Christmas tree of world union. Let us obliterate the oddities of dogmatism and behold all religions as the branches of the one tree of truth. Let all sects celebrate around this one Christmas tree of universal religion in the coming United States of the world. Let us behold the soft twigs of our temporary joy-loving senses, not projected away from, but joined together to, the everlasting Christmas tree of divine joy. May we all learn to climb up the spinal tree of life and pass by the starry knots into the infinite kingdom of Christ. In this coming Christmas, we shall celebrate the coming of one kingdom, one religion, one brotherhood, one human nationality, one wisdom, one ever new happiness, one language, one race, one universal law, one freedom, contact of one God, and one understanding for all human brothers. May this Christmas and New Year time fill you with the adamantine determination to improve yourself and others, as Christ would wish you to do, to usher in paradise on earth. Now I'd like to read to you from St. Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, and every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Then there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I've chosen for the subject of my sermon this morning, the whole world waits. And so it does. It doesn't know it today. But the whole world waits for the coming of the newborn Christ within each human being. It is beautiful when you envision the things that my master wrote to all of his devotees everywhere. And that too is my vision, that we should have but one religion, that we should have a United States of the world, that all men should walk together and serve each other in brotherhood. there would be no greater glory on earth, no greater joy, no greater bliss, no greater conquest of the little self, the human self, than that each of us should realize the newborn Savior within ourselves. I had an interesting thing happen to me once. There was a devotee going through a spiritual experience, and this person said, I am pregnant with a child, and I know exactly what they mean, because I too felt this same pregnancy when I was going through the spiritual experience, which I went through 21 years ago in India. And it was so tremendous, the experience was so real, that I wrote a little note to Swami Ramdas and told him I was going to have a child and he should come and help me. And so, anyway, this person said that they were going to have a child. And I said, well, that's very interesting. Yes, and you are the father of it, they said. And I said, well, that's a new one. I never had that put before me, but I guess you might say that. I said, to God, all things are possible. Because when you think that the Guru teaches you, nourishes you, does everything in the world to help you to turn your full attention upon God, and to go to God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. And finally, there comes the birth of that infant Christ within that individual soul. Indeed, you sometimes feel like a father as well as a mother. The mother aspect, of course, the Virgin, has been known for thousands and thousands of years. It wasn't until 481 that the Virgin Mary was proclaimed a virgin. And then much later, she was the Holy Mother. She was the Anointed One, the Mother of the Universe. But, pardon me, thousands of years before that, the Hindus had been worshipping the great goddess, the Mahadevi, as they called her, and Devaki, who was the mother of Krishna, was said to be a virgin. That's one version of it. In another place, why she had the Christ had seven brothers and sisters. So that's very interesting too, because again we have the relation to the seven spinal centers. So there's always this extra one that comes in. It's like in the book of Murdad, where there were seven, and then eight, and then nine, and it tells about the human ego, and then the Christ that comes. And it's all symbolic of what happens within man. In Egypt, they had the mother Isis, and they had the savior Horus. And so it goes. In China, they had the Kuan Yin. And this virgin birth has been known to exist even in pagan religions. They worshipped a virgin, a goddess. So the truth of the matter is that this virgin birth takes place within ourselves. And that's one time, you see, when men also become mothers. Just as I was told that I was the father of this Christ child, so also when the Christ is born in the male, does he not also become a mother? Because he finds that Christ within himself, the newborn babe. And it happens to every single human being on this earth. When that time comes, when they've sufficiently prepared themselves to receive the Christ. It is a long journey. It has taken us through many, many incarnations to come to this point. And we look back even at this lifetime, and we think of the history of this lifetime in our own lives, and all of the things that have happened to us. We lay it on the clear white paper before us and see it unfold as we went from being a child to an adolescent and then to an adult, and then gradually we gained in knowledge, in wisdom, and we have come to this moment. We have made many mistakes as we went along, but that's the way of duality. You can't hope not to make a mistake when you're in this position. And somehow or other, in the human sense, you're going to make one, because that's the only way you grow. It's the trial and error method. Because for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. For every cause, there is an effect. But we do not realize in that in the beginning. We want only to satisfy our senses, to go out and enjoy the things of the world, the things of the flesh. And only when perhaps some terrible catastrophe happens, or when it is time and God touches us on the shoulder and says, "Come, my son, it is now time for you to come home to me," that we really start to think about putting our feet upon the spiritual path. And we go through many stages until we finally meet a true teacher. And that true teacher only comes when you are ready to go the last mile, because you cannot possibly go through it all by yourself without the help of somebody who is knowledgeable. You would be locked up in America. In India, you would have a better chance, because they have seen people go through these things. And I don't know whether or not I told you, but many, many years ago, there was a neurosurgeon who told me that many of the neurological people were now going over to India. They were taking special instruments there, and they were going to try to persuade the holy men to let them make tests on them when they were going through these tremendous experiences, to see what effect it had on the brain and on the human body. You go through an experience which is so different than anything you could possibly imagine that you cannot imagine it in the human sense. You can watch somebody else go through it. You can read about it. And we have read about the lives of the saints for many, many years. In the beginning, we read the lives of the Christian saints, but now Hinduism has come to America. And so we have many tremendous stories of saints who have gone through this experience. I have met some of them myself. And it is beautiful and wonderful to think that this actually happens, that there is the death of the old man, the creature, and that man is born again when he accepts the Christ, by whatever name you want to call him, as his Savior. When he reaches out with all of his heart and mind and soul and strength for that which is within him. When he wants to give up the things of the world. It is then that the end of the world comes. And this tremendous upheaval, all of the famine and the earthquakes and everything that is described in St. Matthew comes to pass in his own being. He's totally torn apart. He's put here and there. He tries to get this voice and he tries to get the other voice. And he doesn't know which is which, because he's trying to do only the right thing. He doesn't want to make a mistake. He wants to listen only to the voice of God. But this bad thief comes in and he tempts him. And so then you do the best you can. And then right away it comes to you, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that." And the soul is in a turmoil. And you hear, as I did and some others have heard this same thing, you hear people crying out in agony. I heard them being, the flood coming. I heard them being burned and they were trapped. And all of this was within myself. Within myself. Because all that I have created within this human consciousness, maybe not only in this incarnation, but for thousands of incarnations, have brought me to the moment when I had to face everything that I had done. When I had to pick up my cross and follow the Christ in order that I might be his disciple. And in order to do that, I had to go through all of it. And that includes the wondrous birth of the Christ. And it was so beautiful, because during that first experience, God gave me the Lord's Prayer, and he personalized it totally. He said, "It isn't our Father which art in heaven, it's my Father which art in the heaven of my own being. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread, and forgive me my trespasses, as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from all evil. For thine is the power and the glory and the kingdom forever. Amen." And that's the way it came to me. And all of a sudden, I was lifted up. And I felt a closeness with the Father that I never felt before. Because he was my Father. I didn't have to share him with anyone else, although there's nothing wrong with that. but he personalized this for me. And I reached out for him with everything I had. And I went through this birth of the Christ within myself. I actually felt it. And when it says, talks about the Christ child, it was a swathed, swaddling cloth. This is the Christ seed that comes down from the sacred colostrum or cloister in every individual's brain every 29 and a half days. And it goes the root, and it goes down the back of the eyes, the nasal passage, the throat, crosses over the forehead, and is carried down and deposited in the manger, which is a conical like cave behind the stomach, which, and the word Bethlehem means house of bread. And I've described all of this to you many, many times, how the passions come over. They are represented by King Herod. And you have this tremendous urge to expel that seed. But still, you are hidden in the land of darkness of Egypt until King Herod is dead or the passions subside, and then you return to Galilee, and the word Galilee means the circuit. But as that seed comes up then the crucifixion takes place in the final analysis when you are going to be born again. But this birth is tremendous, and it is a little tiny white styrofoam type thing that has a perfect drop of blood right smack in the center of it. And I held this in my hand from my own throat where it came through at this time of the crucifixion. But this was born within me. And we will look at the life of Christ, and we will see how the three wise men came before him. And there is a story told about that is perfectly wonderful. We know that these three wise men are said to have come from the east. And they came bringing gifts of myrrh, gold, and frankincense. But when they started out, their camels were loaded with rich gifts of all types. Two of the men were older. They had gray beards and gray hair. And they were eager to follow this star. But the younger one hesitated. He didn't know why he was hesitating, but something inside of him made him hesitate. At last, all of a sudden, a look of knowing came on his face, and he left the other two wise men, and he traveled up into a secret room that he hadn't been into since he was a little boy. And out of that, he brought something with him. And when it hit the sun, or the sun hit it, it shone just like a diamond. They were very curious to see what he had gotten. And when the camels moved, they saw that what he held in his hand was a little toy dog. It was all painted white, and it had black spots on it. The paint had been worn thin in some places. And he wound the toy up, and it jumped clear up in the air for joy. And the other two wise men said to him, "You fool, what are you doing? This is not fit to go and greet the newborn Savior. This is not a fit gift. You must be mad to take that." And he went up to his camel, and he opened his pack, and he put the toy in it, and he said, "Now I'm ready to start." He said, "All of these other rich gifts I'm bringing for the Savior of the world. But this gift," he said, "I'm bringing for the child that is born in Bethlehem. Because the little child has to have a toy to play with." On this most holy occasion, I want to tell you that the progress that I have seen all of you who have been with me make over the years that you've been with me has been absolutely tremendous and wonderful. Every place I go, people who come in town who have been in many other places make the remark that they have never seen such a group. They have never seen such light on the faces of people. They have never seen such love given and such constant willingness to serve. And this is the type of thing that is going to change the world. When we forget ourselves totally, when we love God more than we love ourselves, our possessions, our dear ones, and reach out for Him with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, then He will come. But until we're ready to do that, it won't happen. There's a story about St. Barnabas. And St. Barnabas was quite a character. He knelt down one day and he prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, make me just like St. Peter. Make me brave, true, bold, and lovable." And God said to Barnabas, "Are you sure you want to be like St. Peter?" He said, "Are you really brave, Barnabas?" He said, "Are you willing to endure the laughter of men? Are you willing to go through the end that St. Peter did and just be torn apart and have the whole world against you as he did?" And Barnabas looked up and he said, "Oh Lord, why don't you just make me lovable?" This is the way we do. Just make me lovable. We say we want God with all of our hearts. We want to have this Christ child born within ourselves. But when the tests come, there are few indeed who are real takers. It's been all lip service. They do this why? They think perhaps, in all sincerity, that this is what they want. But they don't want to pay the price. They want it given to them for nothing. And it doesn't come that way. Because he himself said it was the pearl of great price. And you have to pay every single debt that you owe. The vicarious atonement comes from the Savior within yourself. Because that Son of Man, the Savior, must die in order that the Christ child may be born. And Jesus put that forth as a tremendous example when he said, "Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from my lips. But it was but for this hour that I came." Jesus was tremendous. He was the Son of Man. They have taken out all of the humanness in him, and yet seemingly some of it was left, because he stood up to the money changers in the temple. He scourged them. He had the courage to consort with publicans and sinners. He let no one dictate to him, and he had an answer for every single person that asked him a question. And in everything that he answered, there was tremendous wisdom. How could he do that? It was because he was selfless, because he had no thought for himself, but only of serving his Father. "I and my Father are one," said he. And how marvelous that is. "I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works." And so when we come to that moment, when we know that of ourselves truly we are nothing, that we can't move or live or breathe or have our being, we can't move even one little tiny speck without God, then we gain humility. And that humility must come before you go through this great experience. But when you are ready, and God lifts you up, and he puts you through this tremendous experience, what you come out with is so beautiful, so wonderful. And God speaks to you all the way. There are two voices going when you're going through the experience, it's true. But God lifts you up, and sometimes in great pain, he gives you the most remarkable revelations. He shows you perhaps chapters out of your former lives, as he did with me and as he has with others. These are things that we should never go out after ourselves. So many people today are trying to go to couch readers and have their minds regressed, their consciousness regressed, so that they may find out that they were perhaps a king, a queen, a Cleopatra, winning the conqueror, whatever. As I've said before, it's amazing how many winning the conquerors there are and how many Cleopatras floating around here. And how can that be? How can that be? I personally have had contact. I think of one individual in particular who had this done. And this girl was beautiful, but she came in contact with a lifetime where she was absolutely insane. And so today she is working with a little man of Mars and a Venus. And she wanted to make me the opposite pole of the man who put her through all of this, so that the people on Mars who had this tremendous knowledge of electronics of healing could heal her from the condition which she had gotten herself in. And I refused to do it. No way would I subject myself to anything like that, because I want only God to govern what happens in this form. I don't want it to be used. Let him use it. to the last breath. Let him use it to the last bit of strength. And he does, believe me. But never will I permit anybody else to coerce me into doing anything like that. I remember 20 years ago, I visited the Aurobindo ashram. And it was evening time when everybody went out on the grounds to meditate. And it was beautiful. The stars were shining and that big red Indian moon was out. The fragrance of the tropical flowers. But all these people knelt on the left knee, put the right knee up, and put their hands around the knee and put their heads on the knee, and that's the way they meditate. That can be dangerous. There is a method of meditation similar to that which takes you into regression. So it should never be done. So your attention should be on God alone through Christ in every act, in every thought, in every word of your life. Your attention should be centered on him. And finally, when he has put you through this tremendous experience, you find that you are never away from him, no matter what you are doing, how difficult the task, how many people are around trying to divert your attention. You have a center in Christ within yourself that never leaves you. It is he who thinks, who speaks, who acts through you. You of yourself are nothing but a witness of that which the Christ within you do, or does, I should say. And how wonderful that is when you come to that moment of enlightenment, when you are lifted up into the arms of God, and he holds you safe. He speaks through you. He does everything for you. He protects you. He gives you tremendous revelations of the truth. And every moment you are aware of his infinite presence, the bliss, the glory. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't have things to go through, because you have much to face. And if we're going to have one world, one religion, and one brotherhood of man, then believe me, there's going to be plenty to go through. I know that this is true because I go through much of it now. And when we really grow to the point where we're going to become known, perhaps on a worldwide basis one day, hopefully, it will really be something, because we will have all of the Orthodox churches on our backs, and there will be a war. But that's why I work quietly, why I don't advertise, why every single person who comes has been brought by somebody else. I have never gone after a person in my life. If God gives me an opportunity, I take full advantage of it. I use every sales appeal I have in the book, because I have the greatest product to sell, which is God himself. And I don't hesitate because I think that maybe my product isn't worthy, because I know that God, in that form that stands before me, is bringing this individual to me. And if I can help to make them realize that they have the Christ within themselves, that it is possible for them to know the truth of the story of the star in the east, which is in the center of their own forehead, to know the truth of the story of the three wise men, which are the three qualities of man, the depressive, the active quality, and the worshipful quality, and that they follow this star to Bethlehem. This star is right in the center of the forehead, in the conical like cave where that Christ seed falls, or is taken by the Mary gland, the pituitary gland, and the Joseph gland goes along with it, is right within yourself. And this is right over the manger within yourself. How beautiful it is to know the truth. I would never have dreamed of such a thing if God had himself had not shown me this. And it made the story of the birth of the Christ a real and living thing, and so much more wonderful and beautiful than constantly repeating year after year after year the story of the shepherds, the story of the wise men, the story of the star over the manger, and the story of Herod, the wicked king that ordered the heads of all of the male children cut off in order that he might get that one Christ that was going to take over his kingdom. It is beautiful to think about. And you think about the stillness, the quietness of that night. And there are many, many tales that have been unfolded about the roses that bloom from the earth, and the thorns that have a special meaning, and the crash story, and many, many, many tales that have been woven around this silent night when the Christ was born. And yet when he is born within yourself, all of the flowers within your being burst forth. All of the angels sing in unison around. They hover around you. And when you are taken out of body consciousness at one point through this tremendous experience, you hear the voices of the angels singing, if you were, the music of the spheres. And it is the most beautiful music that man could ever imagine, because he has never heard it with his human senses. It is tremendous. And if you can go on to the very end and hear that music in your heart, to exude the perfume of the Christ from your own being, to give this goodwill, good fellowship to all men, you will be what God intended you to be, a son of God, a child of God. You will be a Christed one, like he, this wonderful Christ that came to bring us all of this truth, to set the example before us. It is high time that we realize the truth of his teaching, that we put them into practice in our own lives, so that this world may change from what it is now, that it may go forth in love and in brotherhood, and that peace may dwell forever in the hearts of men. Now let us pray. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence.
Of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
Are radiant with Thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with Thee.
Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
Blessed Spirit, I am He.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see Thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
May Thy love shine forever.
May Thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to Thee.
And bring them to Thee.
Oh.